so good to see you this morning as we worship together and as we continue from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you would turn in your Bibles or on your smart devices to Philippians chapter 4 and specifically verses 6 through 9 this morning. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. As we closed our time together last Sunday morning, I shared with you a quote from a Bible commentator named Matthew Henry. A lot of the preachers and pastors and Bible teachers often reference his commentaries, but he shared this quote, if you will, concerning peace. He said simply this: "Peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but truth." And last week, as we began to hear from the Apostle Paul as he was writing this letter to the church at Philippi about the peace that is available in the context of the relationships that we have with others and ultimately rooted and founded only in Christ and Christ alone, I think we all came to the conclusion that if there's one thing that we would say that seems to escape us a lot of times in our lives, even as a child of God, if we're being honest about this one thing that we struggle to hold to and to keep our hands on, it would be this concept of peace. Because we all know that we can be at peace with God and be a Christian, a child of God, but yet when life happens, then we become anxious. When challenges arise, then we become anxious. And in fact, some of you last night or yesterday afternoon between the hours of 3 p.m. and 6:45 p.m., if we're just testifying and being honest this morning, you were anxious. In fact, I knew I didn't need to call some of you during that period of time, or you may use some expletives toward the preacher. And I was praying that a certain team would pull it out, even though God doesn't pick sides, just because I knew you'd still be anxious this morning over what happened yesterday, some of you, if it turned out the wrong way. But if we're just being honest this morning, then every single one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, we deal with anxiety. We deal with this reality of this seemingly sometimes inescapable or all-escaping thing called peace in the moments that we need it most. Thankfully, Paul teaches us how we can have that peace. And again, last week, he did so really in the context of our relationships. And so we focused on how peace is a matter of unity, how peace is a matter of living at peace with other people. And we realize that people and people problems and the problems because of people are certainly parts of the reasons why we struggle to remain at peace. So we talked about the importance of focusing on the right things, rejoicing in the Lord, instead of focusing on many of the things that pull our hearts away from the things that we need to focus on. And when we are at contention with other people, then it's often because we're allowing smaller things to become too large of things, and the enemy uses that to rob us of our peace. So we need to rejoice in the Lord. And that rejoicing becomes a safeguard in our lives. But then we also talked about the importance of responding to other people in the right way. And instead of responding with wrath like we often want to do when there's contention with other people, the idea that Paul gave us was to let our graciousness be made known. Let our gentleness be made known to others. Moments that make we want to lash out with anger, we want to lash out and demand that justice be served, would be better met with grace and mercy instead. And today, as we continue with the idea of real peace, we learn how real peace is a matter of prayer. As we shared with you last Sunday morning, many people feel as though, really beginning with verse 4 of chapter 4 and using the rest of this specific passage all the way really through verse 9, many people feel as though these are several standalone statements that Paul uses in exhorting the Philippians. We talked last week how that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, though. We saw how it didn't really seem to be the case in the context of verses 4 and 5. But as we look at verses 6 and 7, and then also verses 8 and 9, we're going to see how maybe they all tie together as well in the context of this contention and how we need real peace in the context of maybe contention with other people as well. But regardless of whether or not they're standalone phrases, whether or not Paul intended for this to be the case, and ultimately God through Paul intended that, we may never really know. But we do know this. We do know that what we find in verses 6 and 7, 8 and 9 this morning, it speaks about how we can have real peace in our lives, not just in the context of relationships with people, but in the context of our daily lives, regardless of what may be the cause of the anxiety in our lives. And he begins in verses 6 and 7 to help us understand that real peace, and I'm talking about not the fake, not the teaser, because we know that there are some teasers in life. There are some things that may seem to be what we're looking for, but they're not. But the real peace, the kind that makes a difference, he begins by helping us see it's a matter of prayer. He says this in verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing. In other words, just don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything, but everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then verse 7, notice, and the peace of God, which exceeds all understanding, will keep your hearts, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So he begins by saying, be careful or for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now let me ask you this. Do we have any worry warts? Is that term still? Do we have any of you out there this morning? Anybody just worries for the sake of worrying? Yeah, we do, and we often do that, and we have a few liars in here, it appears, this morning. No, I'm just joking. But listen to me. If we're being honest, there was a moment this week, moms, that you were a stressed out mess because your little guy, doing number one, overshot the potty, right? And you was a stressed out mess by it. If we're being honest, dads, there was a moment this week that we were probably a little stressed when we're looking to the future and we're uncertain about how we're going to do this or do that, that we feel like we need to do for our families and for our spouses. And then we think about just outside of the context of our family and all the real life stuff that happens. When it comes to this idea of being anxious or being filled with worry at times, I think we can all relate. And here's the reality. No person is immune to anxiety or worry. We become anxious over present realities. We become often anxious over past failures. And it is certain that we often feel anxiety over the future possibilities that, by the way, statistics tell us that the vast majority never come to fruition to begin with. Anxiety, this idea of becoming filled with worry over things, it happens to all of us. Think about Paul's audience here. Think about the church at Philippi. Think about this group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who not only had all the changes and the chances of their mortal physical lives daily to deal with like we do, they were human beings dealing with so much of what we do. But think about how for their Christian faith and their belief in Christ, they had to live with this constant tension between, will I survive today? Will I be at rest tonight in my home? Will I be able to make it through this day? All because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, us here in America, we don't deal with that side of it. But regardless, step into their shoes and imagine what Paul is saying to them. Don't be anxious. Do not let your heart and life become filled with worry. In fact, some suggest that the word that's translated here in the context of this phrase, anxious or worrisome, it's the idea of just in your one mind knowing you have certain things in there that need to be in there, and then other things in there that you're tossing in your mind that don't need to be in there. This state of a divided mind. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's where I find myself. I mean, there are things in there that I know should be in there. I should be concerned about this. I should think about this. But then there's all these other things in my mind that I shouldn't be thinking about, that I should not be allowing to dwell in my mind. And the state of all of those things being in there at the same time causes us as individuals to become anxious. It's the same word that Jesus used in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, when he was talking about us not becoming worrisome or anxious over the basic needs in our lives. We all deal with this anxiety and this opportunity, if we're not careful, to become filled with worry over the concerns of life. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not talking about being concerned about the real things that you need, the real needs. You know, anxiety is not real, true concern or genuine concern. Anxiety is to be overly concerned. So what should be our response, according to Paul, when we're dealing with all of these things and this anxiety that results from all the uncertainty? What should be our response? How should we respond when we're in this tension, when we're trying to avoid this anxiety and to stop anxiety from ruling our minds and ruling our hearts? How can we experience peace instead? Here's what Paul says. Paul says we pray. He simplifies. I love Paul. He was kind of my kind of guy, a simple kind of guy. He says we pray. Yeah, we could sit down and we could go through all kinds of lists, you know, to-dos lists. We could check off and, you know, here's what you need to do. I think this adjustment in your life would do really well to help you become less anxious and everything else. But here's what Paul says. Paul says, pray. And understanding that prayer is communing with God, understanding that prayer is communicating with God, understanding that prayer is asking God, turning to God, it's as if we verbalize an internal dependence on God when we pray. Understanding prayer to be that. When and how does Paul teach us to pray in order to avoid anxiety and instead experience peace? He first teaches us to pray regardless of your circumstances. Pray regardless of your circumstances. He says to not be anxious or become worrisome over anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. To offset anxiety and instead to welcome peace, we need to understand that there's never a bad time to pray, and there's never a time in our lives when prayer is unnecessary. In fact, really based upon maybe what Paul is teaching us in the following verse, in verse 7, it may sometimes in our lives even be the prayers that we pray before things happen which give us the peace that holds us together when they happen. Perhaps Paul, though, also insists when he says that we should pray in everything, that because we should pray in everything, it's necessary to pray about everything. William Barclay, he even says this here. He says, Paul stresses that we can take everything to God in prayer. As it has been beautifully put, he concludes, there is nothing too great for God's power. And here's what I'm so grateful of. There is nothing too small for His fatherly care. We need to be reminded as believers, I have to be reminded often, that the hand of God is the hand which created all of creation, but we also need to remember that the heart of God is the heart of a loving father for His beloved child. And I think sometimes we may focus on that sovereignty and that power of God, and so we believe that we can bring all the big stuff to Him, but we forget that He's also the intimate, loving, caring Heavenly Father who wants His beloved child to sit on the knee and say, Daddy, I have something I want to share with you. It's really bothering me. And so Paul says, in everything, pray. Pray. But then he also gives us the idea that we should pray earnestly. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication, it's the idea of earnestness. It's the idea of an urgent request. So if you look at this, maybe the emphasis here would be on the sense of one's need. And I was trying to figure out best how to relate this, and so let me try to explain it in this way. There are times when you know you need to pray. Raise your hand if you know there are times when you need to pray. Man, we got to agree. I think everybody raised their hand. That's uncommon, right? Everybody agree. That's awesome. There are times we need to pray, but then there are times when you just got to pray. I mean, you know what I mean. When you get that phone call that you never thought you would receive. When you hear the diagnosis that you never expected to hear. When you're awoken there in the middle of night by the tragedy that you never imagined would step onto your doorsteps. When you're dealing with the brokenness that you never imagined you would experience, when it all began, whenever it began. There are times we need to pray, but then there are times we have to pray. And Paul says that we must not neglect it during those times. He says to pray earnestly, but then I believe he also teaches us to pray gratefully. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Here's a really cool thing for the believer, for the child of God. Every day is Turkey Day. Thankfully, we don't have to eat turkey every day, because I'm full of it still. But thankfully for the believer, for the child of God, listen to me, there's not a day that we wake up by God's grace, by God's goodness, by God's mercy, and we live without reasons to be grateful to the God above and the God within. Not a day. Not a day in which we cannot be as the psalmist, relating to the psalmist, and declare to the end that I may sing praise to you and not be silent. And I love the last part of Psalm 30 and 12. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Not a day that we don't step into that verse and have the privilege with the psalmist of saying, Father, today I am grateful. When we pray, and we pray with a grateful heart, then our hearts are fixed not on the issues, but on the blessings. Pray gratefully, but also pray specifically. He says to let your requests be made known unto God. The idea behind this is the sense of being specific, being definite or more precise. I've had people ask me this, well, you know, why should I pray specifically about things? Why should I pray specifically about this need or this concern? Doesn't God already know it? He's God, He's sovereign, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, all-knowing. So doesn't God already know it? Absolutely He does. But He wants us to acknowledge our dependence on Him in every little detail of our lives. And when Paul urges us to pray specifically, to let our request, our specific needs and concerns be known unto God, it's His way of encouraging us to acknowledge that in every single concern that we have in our lives, we rest our hope and our dependence in Him and in Him alone. And what happens then when we pray? What happens when we follow what Paul is telling us? What does all of this do when it comes to peace? What difference does it make? How do we know that we're going to be able to experience peace if we do this? Well, we know because of the promises of verse 7. Paul says, and the peace of God, which exceeds all understanding. Some translations may read, which passes all understanding, or which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let me talk to you just a moment or two about this peace that we are able to experience, according to Paul, when we pray. Instead of prayer becoming our last resort, when it becomes our first response, listen to what Paul says happens in our lives. We experience a peace that is unexplainable. Unexplainable. He says it exceeds our understanding. When I was working on the message this week, I was digging in, I was referencing all the commentaries, I was doing everything. I was like, God, how can I explain this concept of unexplainable peace to the people that are there? And finally, it got to the point where God just kind of knocked on my noggin, because it's like wood sometimes, and He knocked on that, and He was like, Donnie, read the verse again. And the peace of God, which passes, surpasses, exceeds, is beyond your understanding. And I was like, okay, God, I finally have it. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. God says we really can't understand it, and so I can't explain it. But here's how I might try to illustrate it. In my life, here's how I have experienced the peace that Paul is talking about. I'll be walking through a very difficult moment in my life, and I don't know how it's going to work out. I'll be walking through an uncertain period in my life, and I have no clue. I'm uncertain about it. I'm unsure about it. I'll be walking through something, and I'm just like, man, this is a mess. But even in that time when things are not okay, somehow, some way, because I've prayed and listened to what Paul has said, I'm okay. I can't explain it, but I know it. This peace I've experienced in my life, this unexplainable, inexplicable peace, this peace that is beyond understanding, I've experienced in my life in this way, that when I am in trouble, I'm talking in the midst of trouble, and just from our small group time this morning, there's some folks in here who could stand up and they'd testify with all their, they know what trouble, you know what I mean when I say you're in trouble. You can be in trouble but not troubled because of the responsive prayer in the moments of uncertainty in our lives. And instead of anxiety, instead of becoming overwhelmed with worry, Paul says there's this peace that we can't really understand, we can't really explain, we can't understand it enough to grasp it, we can't understand it enough to concoct it on our own. It's a peace inexplicable that we are able to experience. And guess what, guys? I quit trying to figure out how to explain it to you, and I just started being grateful for it this week. That even when we don't know how it is happening, we know why it's happening. And we know the who behind the why. And it is happening because of God. It's God's peace beyond our understanding. But not only does God's peace surpass our understanding, it protects us from that which the enemy attacks. He says that this peace that is beyond understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The word here is used in the military sense, where it was at that time, for standing on guard. The idea is to keep guard over something in order to protect it. And you know how the enemy works in your life. This is how he works in my life. He uses doubt. He uses dissension. He uses worry. And he uses anxiety to rob us of that which God wants us to have. But when we pray, here is what we do. We invite God's peace to act as God's soldier, to come over and into our hearts and our minds, and to set up guard over our hearts and minds so that the anxiety and the worry is not able to re-enter in, as long as we're depending on Him in the way that Paul is teaching us to. It guards our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. But not only is this real peace a matter of prayer, Paul continues in verses 8 and 9 to show us that it's also a matter of our mind and our emotions. In other words, what we think and what we do. So if it is through prayer being our first response instead of last resort that we're able to experience this inexplicable peace to begin with that keeps and or guards and protects our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, then how do we keep this peace? Because again, this peace that we're talking about is something that we seem to always be losing grasp of. I mean, one day we're okay, the next day we're anxious, one day we're good, the next day we're filled with worry. This is the seemingly up and down roller coaster of life and of emotion that we deal with. So how are we able to keep what God's peace brings us into our lives? How are we able to keep what prayer delivers into our lives? He says, finally, brethren. Finally, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in this connection, connecting these thoughts, whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue or any praise, and think or meditate on these things. Those things, a reference back, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And then not only do we have the promise of the peace of God when we pray, but Paul now says if we do the thinking and the doing to go along with the praying, not only do we experience the peace of God, but the God of peace. We were able to experience in a unique and powerful way. It's as if these whatever statements that Paul uses in verse 8, it's as if they serve as this kind of grid to filter what we should allow our minds to dwell on. And the list is kind of self-explanatory, but really they're all things that are God-honoring. They're all things that would take the emphasis off of something else and make sure the emphasis is on where it needs to be, spiritually speaking. And Paul says not just to think about these things in the fashion of a passing thought, But to go deeper, to meditate on these things in the sense of going beyond just the passing thought or just the temporary consideration, but pondering it deeply, considering it intently. And you understand this. I don't have to explain how this works in life because you understand this, because you know that what you allow your mind to be focused on, you allow your mind to be fixed on, is often what dictates and determines whether or not you experience peace or anxiety in your life. I'll just be honest with you. Hey, the last couple weeks, so I've been an anxious mess. And it's not because I haven't been praying. I think I've actually prayed more in the last few months of my life than I've ever prayed in my life. It's not because I haven't been praying. And it's not because God has not offered and extended and allowed me to experience that peace that I really can't explain. But it's because I haven't fixed my thoughts in connection with my prayers on the things that I need to fix them on. I allow too many of the uncertain things and the uncertainties and the stress factors of my life to remain the attention of my thoughts. And God brings that peace and that assurance, and I'm okay. But then I just keep thinking about the stuff I shouldn't keep thinking about. So Paul says, prayer may bring the peace, but our mind keeps it. Our mind helps us maintain this peace. As we meditate, as we fix, as we think intently, as we dwell on and ponder on, as we make sure our thoughts are fixed on the things that are good, the things that honor God instead of the alternatives. And then there's something else that he connects with our thoughts in order for us to experience the God of peace. He connects our actions. Paul sets forth his own example for the example of the church at Philippi and for our example as well, the Christ-like example of Paul. And he says, if you get your thinking right and you get your doing right and you're praying, guess what you'll experience? Not just the peace of God, but the God of peace in a new and a fresh and a unique way when you need to experience those things as most. We realize His presence more fully. We realize His comfort and His protection more greatly as we act right in addition to thinking right. And the truth is, the decisions that we make in life either lead to or take away from the anxiety in our lives. There are some people, and we've all been these folks, who are always stressed over all sorts of things because they keep doing things they shouldn't be doing. And you can sit down and you can talk with them. You say, hey, you're not, you know, you need to adjust some things in your life. I'm just humbly sharing with you. You know, if you don't, okay, I understand. Then you'll continue to go and you'll do the same thing that you did that caused you such anxiety and such stress in your life. You'll do the same thing. And guess what you have again? You have stress and anxiety. And until we change our thinking, but also our doing, then guess what? We'll continue to walk through these anxious moments in our lives. But if we change our thinking and doing, we'll experience His peace and presence in a new way. I read this week of, and you may have heard the story before, there was a man a long time ago who really sought out the perfect picture of peace, if there is one. I think there is, and we're learning about it. Not finding one that satisfied him, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece, this perfect picture of peace. Well, the challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and so paintings arrived from far and wide, all over the place. Well, finally, the great day of revelation arrived, and the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another peaceful scene. And you can just imagine what was painted, and the peaceful scene after the peaceful scene. And as viewers saw it, they would clap and they would cheer, and they'd be in awe. Oh, that's the perfect picture of peace and peace. Well, the tensions only continued to grow when two pictures remained yet to be unveiled. Well, as the judge pulled over, the cover from off of one of those, a hush fell over the entire crowd. In that picture, there was a mirror-smooth lake. Green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky, grassy shore, you know, a flock of sheep grazing undisturbed on the edge of the water. Surely, that picture was the winner. I mean, if we look at that picture, we think peace. That's what peace, it's just serenity. Oh, it's the calm waters. It's the green pastures. But the man with the vision of this perfect, this picture of perfect peace, he uncovered the second painting himself. And the crowd, they gasped as loud as they were like, this is not it. There's no way this is his choice. And in this picture, there was the painting of a tumultuous waterfall. It was cascading down this rock precipice, and the crowd, as they were looking at this painting, they could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray of this waterfall just penetrating their spirits. And in the sky, in this painting above this waterfall, there were stormy gray clouds that you could look at, and they were threatening to explode with lightning and wind and rain. And in the midst of all the thundering noises and the bitter chill, there was a little skinny, spindly little tree that clung to the rocks at the edge of the fall. And if you looked very closely, one of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience the full power and wrath of the waters. But on that little extension of that branch, a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. The bird was content, undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, resting on her eggs, with her eyes closed, her wings ready to cover her little ones. And in that moment, in that picture, and with that depiction, the bird demonstrated the peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of earthly chaos and turmoil. And when we often think of peace, we equate peace with a scene of tranquility. We equate peace with the absence of problems. But what Paul teaches us is that peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the recognition of the presence of God. I know some of you, as we've talked about this morning, you're saying, Brother Donnie, if you were dealing with what I'm dealing with, then you'd be a nervous wreck too. You're thinking, you know, if you were walking through what I'm walking through, then you'd understand why I'm acting the way I am. Or maybe you'd say something like this: if you only knew, then you would understand why I'm so fill in the blank, whatever it may be. But may I encourage your spirit today. May God's spirit encourage yours to know that real peace is not to know the absence of problems and difficulties and conflict, but real peace is to be able to rest in the promises and the assurances of the presence of God in your life, regardless of what you walk through in your life. And the journey to this real peace starts first with being at peace with God. And Paul has made it clear throughout his letter up to this point, with all of the facts he's taught us about real life, he's helped us understand that real life is only found in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For here's the reality: the gospel, the good news message of Jesus Christ, means that you and I can enter freely into the presence of God, where we find a supernatural, irrational peace, even in the midst of any trial that we experience in our lives. As the bird on the branch with the waterfall and the stormy skies, we are okay even when it doesn't make sense to be at peace. And may I encourage you in this, that peace is available if you step out by faith today, trusting in Christ to be the Lord of your life if you've never done that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're like me, and here recently you've been dealing with this anxiety, and it's been a battle. It's just been a battle for me. And you've just been dealing with this roller coaster of emotions, and maybe you're like me, and God has reminded you, is prayer your first response or is it your last resort? And then when you pray, and I give you my peace, where do you fix your thoughts? And you keep letting the enemy take captive your thought life instead of you taking captive your thought life through the power of the Holy Spirit and fixing your mind on the things that you need to fix your mind on. And if you're like me, that's been my problem. I've been working on my thinking. I've had some stinking thinking. And I've been working on it. And I'm a work in progress. But I can assure you what God has been doing in my life is helping me rest in His peace more and more day by day, as not only I pray, but as I start redirecting my thoughts to where they need to be. And if you're here this morning and you're dealing with all the anxieties and the stresses of life, may this be an encouragement to you to find your peace today. in the Lord Jesus Christ.